You're listening to the Booked Out Beauty Business Podcast for hairstylists that want to make bank behind the chair without the burnout. I am your host, Becca Cavanaugh, business coach for hairstylists. I was behind the chair for 5 years where I built up a full clientele while working a part-time job and located in a small town. Now I dedicate my work to helping stylists like you break free of the underpaid and overworked cycle so you can double your bookings and become the go-to stylist in your area. If you want a long, thriving career as a stylist, then you're in the right place. Let's get going. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here and so much for listening to today's episode. So today we are talking about consultations and how much I love them, of course, as always, what's to do. But I actually did an amazing class recently for some cosmetology students, and I talked all about consultations and how to have an effective consultation. And they had some really great questions that came up, and I want to create a whole podcast episode about it because these are some of the things that I haven't had a chance to really dive into. And I felt that it would be beneficial for everyone to kind of go over these common questions that came up a lot. And what I heard was that a lot of us are still confused about consultations and that consultations are kind of taught in a very passive way. They're taught in this way of that, yes, it's something that you need to do. They're semi-important, but really the results is more important. But my whole philosophy is that how can you really get to a perfect result if you don't really understand or have an effective consultation? And what I also see is that consultations have been taught in this way that have these very arbitrary rules, you know, the arbitrary rules of like, they have to last, you know, 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, you know, or the arbitrary rules of like that you have to ask about hair history and like kind of having this script and check mark when it comes to consultations. And I never want your consultations to feel like that. I want it to feel like you are having a conversation, that you're having this nice ebb and flow between you and the client. And talking about some of these things are how you're going to really have an effective consultation. And I really believe that having an effective consultation is so important because it is the basis of where you get to really build trust with the client. It's the basis of where you can really help retain clients, where you can eliminate redos, where you make sure clients aren't disappointed, that they know exactly what to expect, which will absolutely make you more money because you're going to have more happy clients. They're going to be referring you out. They're going to, you know, refer all their friends and all of those things. And it's going to save you from a lot of time and heartache from having disappointed clients or by constantly having to do redos because you missed something in your consultation process. So in this podcast episode, I want to cover some of the situations, kind of the what if situations that came up in this class that I did, and answering common questions that I hear a lot about consultation. So if you want to learn more about kind of my step-by-step process about consultations, I would definitely check out my podcast episode number 2 on this podcast to really learn kind of the step-by-step process, not just going over common questions. So if you want to dive into that first, dive into this, whatever, whatever, it will all work. So either way, this will help you better your consultations. But if you want to learn more about kind of the step-by-step process or philosophy of consultations, that is my philosophy and my take on consultations, you can listen to podcast episode number 2. Okay, so let's dive into different what ifs when it comes to consultations. So what if number 1 is, what if you give them exactly what they asked for and they still don't like it? Usually my hot take on this is that you still miss something in the consultation. Something was overlooked, something was missed. And what I noticed a lot with stylists is that especially when we're kind of nervous about a consultation or we have a new client in our chair, we're nervous about a potential project, we don't know if we're going to be able to handle it exactly, we tend to kind of jump in and over-explain and give the client many different options and just really dive in. And what this can do is overwhelm the client, which could result in them being a little bit more reserved in the consultation, or this could have them kind of just going with the flow of whatever you're saying without them really questioning or thinking about themselves. They're just going to go into people pleaser mode because they're overwhelmed, they're getting decision fatigue, and they're just like, you know what, you're the expert, whatever you think. We never just want to leave it on that note. We want to continue to reiterate to them. And you can kind of prevent this by asking open-ended questions to your clients. And whatever suggestions you do have to bring to the client, that you're always putting it back on them. So how you could kind of do this is if they're asking for a suggestion or they're like, I don't know, what do you think? You'd be like, well, I suggest this, but I want to ultimately do what you want. So what do you think? And then always just kind of putting it back on them. So, and if you suggested a couple of different options, after listing those options, you can always, and never overwhelm them, okay? This is another point here. Always just list like two or three options, okay? Once you get past that third option, they're like, they're dead and gone. They have zoned out. They don't even know. They've probably latched onto one of the three already and they've zoned out at this point. So, 1 to 3 is always good for suggestion, and then always putting it back on them. Hey, what do you think? What are you leaning towards now that you've heard those suggestions? And then let them kind of get back into it. You're now putting the ball back in their court so they don't feel obligated to just do what you want to do. Now, you might be hearing all this and you might be going, okay, Becca, but what if I really did everything right and they still aren't happy? So my hotter take on all of this is that sometimes people are crazy. We're dealing with the public. Sometimes clients are crazy, right? But, this is usually not the case, right? That's a very special case. Be willing to always try again and then have clear policies that reflect that. So if you have to redo a client, making sure that it's within your policy time, whatever you think is good for that time. And if you're having trouble with policies, this is something I can help you with. But if you be willing to always try again and try to repair the relationship and have that consultation once more, you know, really give that consultation another shot on why they didn't like last time, what was happening, what did we miss, how can we go back? And again, not letting them kind of take over or not letting them also just passively do whatever you want to do. We want to make sure that we're grounded, staying with them, and not getting ourselves in the fields, you know, getting our feelings involved in all of that, remaining neutral, and then being able to move forward with that and be able to make any corrections to repair the relationship. Because if you want to retain this client, this is what you need to be doing, you know? And again, going back to the some clients are crazy type of thing, yeah, sometimes they're crazy and sometimes we just can't make everybody happy. But if you're getting this a lot, like, you know, every few clients or maybe even a few times a month, and it's consistently happening that way where you're constantly getting people wanting redos, something's got to be cleaned up. You know, you have to be willing to look in the mirror and be able to reflect on what's going on. And so something is missing. Something needs to get cleaned up on your end. And how you can do this is by really reiterating these consultation tips, by remembering, by improving all of those things. And this is why coaching can benefit you so much, is because I can help you see your blind spots so you can easily double your bookings and finally make the money that you deserve as a stylist without sacrificing your well-being. And I have helped so many stylists make subtle shifts in their business that they had no idea were holding them back from financial stability behind the chair. And before, they felt that they were doing everything right, but they still just weren't seeing results. So these subtle changes, like cleaning up your consultations, like cleaning up your policies, can absolutely make all the difference and could be the last puzzle piece for you to double your bookings in 6 months or less. So don't sleep on these things. You know, I know that I kind of gave you a pass with saying that sometimes clients are crazy, but ultimately that's not the case usually. And we want to still be reflecting and making sure that we are taking in genuine feedback and actually doing better and being able to humbly take that feedback, remain neutral, and move forward with adjustments, you know? So let's go into the second. What if my consultations are lasting too long? Like we're cutting into the time of the service, and now I'm running late on services constantly because my consultations are lasting way too long. So usually this can happen is because you're letting the client lead. Whether you're letting them vent for too long, or you're letting them ramble on, or you're letting them constantly repeat things to you, you are not taking the lead. You're letting them lead. And this happens because usually the client will take over when they feel like you aren't leading, when they don't feel that they are heard, or they feel like you are not confident to lead it. So they're going to step into that role now. They are now taking control. When in reality, what you need to be doing is by hearing them out, but also remaining in the leadership role, remaining in control of that conversation. And this can come down to something as subtle as your body language. By keeping that confidence with them, by listening actively, they can tell the difference. And if they feel like they aren't being heard for whatever reason, a lot of the times they will start to ramble, they will start to repeat, they will start to overrun the conversation. And this means that you need to be asking clarifying questions that you need to know, and leaving out any of the questions that don't really matter in this moment, because again, we don't want them rambling about things that don't really matter. We need to get to the point, get to what we need to know, and then move on and adjust accordingly. Ask clarifying questions accordingly. Like if a 5-year hair history doesn't really matter if the client just cut all their hair off, and I can see that on them, you know? I can see that they have cut all their hair off and they only have, you know, a few inches of hair. Do I really need to ask them about their hair history? Not so much. You know, it's wasting our time. I just need to know where they want to go, where they've been in the last few months, and how I can adjust accordingly. And don't let the client waste your time by venting and repetition. And sometimes the client will repeat things because they don't feel heard. How can you prevent that from cutting into your consultation time is by reiterating and reassuring them, and by using their language. A lot of the times you could be saying the same thing, but since you're saying it in hairstylist language, this is like the hairstylist jargon, you know, even though you're saying the same thing as the client, they won't hear it that way, you know? So it's your job to really reiterate it in their language so they can finally relax and know that they're heard and they're in good hands, and that they know that you guys are on the same page. Even though what you said before in the hairstylist jargon language was on the same page, they don't know that. They don't hear it that way. So you want to make sure that you're always repeating back to them and reiterating them and reassuring them in their language, not in your hairstylist jargon language. Making sure that they understand that you understand them. Because again, clients repeat things because they don't feel heard. So if you feel like you understand what they're saying and they're still repeating something, there's something there that you're missing, something there that they feel like you're not hearing them out, you know? And I think even though you can get them to a certain result by understanding them mostly, we want to just help them feel calm and feel relaxed and like they're in good hands and feel confident that they're in good hands. And that happens in the consultation, not at the end of the appointment. And this leads me to, what if the client doesn't really know what they want? So I always like to think is like, you just need to get a sense of what direction you're going in. And then you can elaborate, and then you can be prepared on your end to really bring in the tools that you need in order to get them to the results that they want. So if a client doesn't really know what they want, just try to get a general idea from them. Like, okay, are we wanting long hair or short hair? Okay, I want this. Okay, are we wanting blonde or are we wanting dark? Okay, then we just can keep moving from there and there and there, right? And I like to have inspiration photos. Like I have a whole Pinterest that is just dedicated to hair. So that way I can show my clients different hair inspirations. So if they don't know what direction they're going in, I just go, okay, we want long hair, we want some balayage, we want this, and I'm plugging it into Pinterest and bringing up inspiration photos for them. Now, again, inspiration photos is good, but I know that a lot of us feel like Pinterest is the devil when it comes to hairstylists. But making sure that using that as a tool obviously will help you really get and see, have a visual for them to see where you're going and what they need to know. So that way you can get a general idea for them to be like, oh no, I really don't like that, or ooh, I do really like this. So again, just because they aren't prepared doesn't mean that you can't be prepared. Asking those clarifying questions, giving suggestions, and then this is where it's really important. When a client doesn't know what they want, ask them for reassurance. Continue to always be putting it back on them. We could do something like this. What do you think? How do you like this? Look at this photo. Do you like it like this, or do you want something a little different, more like this? Giving them different options and asking them, what do you think? And something I like to do here too is that if a client doesn't know what they want and I'm giving them a lot of suggestions and they're kind of, I can see that maybe they're swaying in a direction that I've given, I could be like, you won't hurt my feelings. Like, you can pick whatever you want to do. I want to do what you want to do. So I'm just giving you suggestions, but if you don't want to do this, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Don't worry about it. Just kind of giving that extra reassurance, even though they're, it gives them the opportunity to really think about it and for them to go, no, I do really want to do what you said. I liked what you said. Okay, now I can move forward with confidence, right? Now you both feel confident in your decision making and that you don't feel like they are just going with what you want to do. And then they also don't feel persuaded to do what you want to do or pressure to do what you want to do, right? Okay, so let's talk about the fourth one, which is, what if my client booked for the wrong service? So you guys know I'm a huge advocate for booking sites, for using online booking, and being able to streamline that with packages is my bread and butter. That is what I love to see. But sometimes clients can book for the wrong service. And I think it's really important to not make the client wrong in this scenario. Don't make them wrong. Don't tell them that they did something wrong. Be like, oh, I had you down for this. This is what we're doing today. It's just going to be a little different. You know, sometimes you won't have the time to do what they wanted. For example, if they booked for a root touch-up, but they really wanted like a full balayage, then you're probably not going to have the right timing to do that. So what can you do today? Let's say they want a haircut in that service, then maybe you could just do a haircut today and then reschedule for the balayage, right? Having them leave with something, I think, is so important. We never want clients, especially when they've been waiting for, if you're booked out or if you're getting to be more booked out, they've waited time to book the service. Maybe they've even saved their money to book this service, right? Making sure that we're not making them wrong or making them leave with something that, with nothing, right? They've waited this whole time. They've built up this appointment. They've gotten super excited over it. It's kind of a big letdown when they just leave the salon with no service. So even if all you can do is a deep condition and blowout, give them a deep condition and blowout. And this will help you too, because now you're walking away with something and not just nothing on, you know, from that service that you've booked out, right? So making sure that they always leave with something, making sure that you're not making them wrong. But I would say if you do have the time, then do it. Just educate them on it and make it very clear in the consultation that the price and the duration might be different than what they had booked, and making sure that they agree upon that beforehand before you start the service. That's all. But if they agree, they're like, oh my God, I totally didn't know. Be like, that's totally fine. It happens all the time. This is what we're going to do instead. And I'm so happy to do this for you today. This is going to be the price and this is going to be the duration because it's a little different from what you booked. How does that sound? And then letting it flow from there, seeing what you can get done with their goals, what they want within their price range, within their time constraints, you know? So I think that that is a great compromise to kind of meet them in the middle, and it can give you a really great building opportunity to build up your clientele behind the chair. So if you have the time, then just do it. Don't turn them away just because of the principle of it or because of the ego of it. Just do it. If they have the time, if they have the money, whatever, just do it. Just do it. And even if they booked for something bigger and now they've just decided to get a haircut, like, it's a bummer, but it's the cost of doing business. It's the cost of working with clients. It's the cost of working with humans that change their mind, right? So we'll factor all that into your packages, to your pricings, and also in your business model so you won't have to worry about it, you know? So if a client does change their mind, it's not a big deal. Let's retain them. Let's not make them wrong for it. And let's just move on from the situation. Get you know, your service price, get the service that you did do, and then move on, right? And not make it a big deal or make it them wrong for it, and continue to retain that client and retain that relationship is so important. So let's go to the last one here, which is, what if my client wants a huge change? I got this question a lot when I did the class, and I think that it's so important here to identify if you are nervous about doing this big change for the client, or is the client nervous? Because I saw a lot of people saying that the client was nervous when in reality it was they were a little nervous to do this big change for the client, and that they were worrying that the client was going to blame them for wanting this big thing. I like to lean into the client's excitement when it comes to a big change. A lot of the times, if a client is hesitant, it's because they want permission from you. They might not have anybody in their life that is giving them permission to do this big change. And they really want to do this. They want that reassurance. And it kind of sucks, you know, it can kind of be an off feeling when your stylist is also hesitant and going, well, I mean, we could just, you know, do a little bit today and not make it too crazy or whatever, whatever. And the client's just like, you know, no, I wanted this big change, but now you're making me feel doubtful. So I like to celebrate them. I like to get excited. I like to lean into that and see their reaction. Be like, oh, we're doing a big change today. I'm so excited. Oh, I love this for you. I think it's going to look so great. Are you sure? Are you ready for something like this? I'm totally down to do it, but I just want to make sure that you're ready because this is a bigger change. And then see how that's much more excited than being like, oh, this is a big change. What do we think? I don't know. You know, having them get that permission slip from somebody, you know? And I had a lot of people kind of ask me, like, what if they're crying in your chair afterwards, right? First off, I don't like to make things like that personal. Like, it might make you feel a certain way as a stylist. It might make you feel a little crappy at the end of the service. It might not make you feel good, but are you willing to not feel good in order for the client to feel great? You know, like the client might be crying in the chair at one point, but then be like, oh, they got used to the hair. And then they're like, oh, no, this is actually really great. And this is what I wanted all along, you know? And sometimes it's not about us, you know, making it personal in that moment, not remaining neutral. And by being worried that the client's going to have a big reaction, that doesn't help me really see the client neutral and see the situation as neutral in order to actually problem solve for it. Again, sometimes it's not about us. Sometimes people want big changes because they got a lot going on in their life, you know? And something that was very much and is still very much my personality is I would often joke with my clients, and if they're sitting in my chair, they want to chop 10 inches off their hair, I go, okay, I'm going to do this for you, but no crying in my chair today. Promise, promise, pinky promise, you know, just kind of making it lighthearted and fun of like, okay, I'm going to do this for you. I'm very excited for you. I want to do this, but also let's make sure we're ready. Are we ready? You know, you got to promise me something, no crying in my chair today. So I like to do that because that was kind of my personality. That might not be your personality, but you know, incorporating something like that can often alleviate this kind of heavy weight of, oh my God, we're doing a big change today. Just making it a little more lighthearted and fun for the client. And again, being excited for them, like, oh my God, I'm so excited that you want to do something like this. I am so down to do it. Let's go. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. And if they are hesitant at all, then of course you can give options, but always reassure the original idea. Like sometimes clients, again, they just want that permission slip. Like they might just be hesitant because nobody else has validated it for them, but you get this opportunity to validate it for them. So that is your opportunity as a professional to be like, nope, I'm here. I'm ready to make this happen. Let's do it. I'm so excited for you. So those are the five most common consultation situations that I hear all the time and how to handle them. And if you like this episode, please share it with a fellow stylist, or you can post it on Instagram or TikTok and tag me. All of my handles are down in the show notes. And if you really want to learn how to handle anything behind the chair and become booked out even in a small town, you can work with me one-on-one by booking a sales call to see if this program is right for you. So all the details are always down in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I will chat with you next week. If you're serious about becoming the go-to stylist in your area, then you need to snag my free profitable income calculator. The top reason stylists leave the industry early is lack of income. So this calculator will give you the real numbers on what you can and can't afford behind the chair so you can keep your dream business alive. Are you ready to become booked out in 6 months or less? Then book a sales call to work one-on-one. All links are in the show notes to get started. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.